The Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM and 930 AM.
A young man was 11 and a half years old when he was given away to another family because his family could not afford financial capability to take care of him, to send him to school. He couldn't go to school because of that situation. So he was given away to a rich family, maybe with hope that he will be sent to school. And he was not sent to school. He dreamt every day. He had dreams of even becoming a big man, of growing, of excelling in life. But there was no one to help him. His parents couldn't afford it. The country could not help him. He was in a precarious situation. And so this young man prayed to God. He said, God, I need your help. I need to go to school. I need to be helped to grow. I need my own life to be fulfilled.
Good morning.
I don't want to.
And welcome to Mission Matters Live. This is a program aimed at promoting a spirit of mission among the people of God in the Archdiocese of Chicago. My name is Megan Mio, and I'm the director of the Mission Office. Our engineer this morning is Brian. We just heard a clip from Deacon Leo Okonkwo, who is the founder of Water for Life Mission and vice president of HEAL, which stands for the Home to Enhance African Life. My guest today, I have in person in studio, is Mr. Nick Costello, who is the president of HEAL, as I said, the Home to Enhance African Life. HEAL's mission is to form servant leaders among Africans through subsistence care, education, and entrepreneurship in the self-emptying spirit of Jesus Christ. And they're focused in southern Nigeria, their work. HEAL is one of the missionary groups that participates in the Summer Mission Cooperative, which the Mission Office coordinates each year. I'm so glad to have Nick with me this morning, and we were very lucky to have a short clip from Deacon Leo as well. We'll hear more from him a little later on. We want to hear from Nick, his journey, and the amazing work that HEAL has done in Nigeria. So good morning and welcome, Nick.
Good morning, Megan. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here with me and being open and willing to share with our listeners. So to get us started, Nick, you're originally from Chicago, right?
Yes, I am.
And you've been working here for some time. So can you tell us a little more about your background, what brought you to HEAL?
First of all, thank you, Megan, for this opportunity to speak with you today. Mm-hmm. I am born and raised on the south side of Chicago, from Oak Lawn originally, mm-hmm. and went to Catholic schools all my life, Brother Rice High School, went to Notre Dame, and graduated from Notre Dame in 1992. And my parents set a good example for me and for my three brothers. I'm one of four. And we'd pray before meals, pray before going to bed at night, and went to Mass on Sunday. If I acted up at Mass, my dad would spank me when I got home.
Sure.
And then during my college years, when I drifted a little bit, you know, if I went on a road trip for a weekend or something like that, you know, I remember my dad asking me and my mom asking me, "Did you make it to Mass on Sunday, Nick?" And I said, "No, I missed." Mm-hmm. And they said, "Well, you know, you should go to Mass." And I remember my dad saying, and I remember asking my dad, "Why? Why should I go?" Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, because you receive graces when you go to Mass." So I had a good formation within my own family that I'm very grateful for. And our family's also in business. We're in the restaurant business here in Chicago. So that was part of my experience growing up. And being in a family business was a great blessing. There was a few issues I had with it because business tended to dominate all the conversations and our relationships. I guess maybe it was too much business all the time. But it was still a great blessing. And my grandfather, who I'm named after, my first name is Nicola. He was an immigrant from Italy in the early 20s. And he had a big influence on my life also. And like, well, he only got through a second grade education, but his words to me were always, "Nick, carry on my name." And, and he was the one who founded the family business, on my mom's side. And so he's played a great, influence. He's been a great influence for me in my life also. And so that's a little bit about me. And I'm also a former seminarian, and getting into how I met Deacon Leo, who opened up with his homily from – that was from St. Paul Chong Ha-Sang last year, which was part of the mission appeal that the mission office so graciously invited us to do. So but I met Leo in seminary. We were Rockford Seminarians at Mount St. Mary's Seminary.
So wait a minute. You went from not being sure if you want to go to Mass on Sunday to going to seminary.
Yes, that's correct.
Something changed, huh?
Something changed, yeah. We can't get into all the details because we have to talk about this mission, but that was just a little bit about me.
Yeah.
But how I originally met Leo was in 1998, and we were classmates and became good friends. And that's when I learned about – first learned about – his mission work in his country.
So so he was already doing work prior to you meeting him in Nigeria, working with his – so because in the clip we heard, he mentioned his own – it really, it was his own story.
Yes.
As a child that he was given away. His family couldn't pay debts that they had, and so the only way they could stay afloat was to have their child work – basically work off money that was owed, and he became, you know, a servant in a household, you know, something
that's right,
that would break anybody's spirit to have to do that, that their family couldn't support them.
That's right. I mean, in Nigeria, in the rural context that Leo comes from, in a developing country, but a third world country, education's a luxury. It's not readily available, affordable. The public school system in Nigeria is – there are many problems with it. So when he was pulled out of school at age 11, it's – he wondered if he'd ever get an education. He wondered if that was it for him. And so it was really a psychological trauma for him. So he was this bonded servant with this local chief for – 3 years, but and he wondered what would happen, what his future would be, and part of the story is he, this chief had children of his own, several children, and one day Leo saw them after they had come home for school and they were crying, and he said, "Why are you crying?" And they told him, "Because if we fail our math tests, or we don't finish our math homework, our father will beat us severely." So Leo said, "Well, bring me your textbook," and he studied the material. And being a bright young boy himself, he learned it and was able to tutor. The man's children, and they improved in their understanding of this material and passed their tests. So he kind of realized at that point that this was his calling, or
really...
it would be part of his mission. But it wasn't until And then he also snuck out of the man's house occasionally to go to Mass at a local church.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he also snuck out to a minor seminary, which is like a high school seminary here.
Mm-hmm.
And he took an entrance exam, unbeknownst to the tribal chief.
Wow.
And he passed it, but he couldn't go to school. He couldn't enter the seminary because the chief was like, "Well, you're mine because we have this agreement with your family."
Right, under contract.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. also this chief happened to be Muslim, and mm-hmm. his conscience wouldn't allow him to send Leo to an infidel seminary.
A Christian seminary.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when Leo,
mm-hmm.
he decided to do a 9-day novena to St. John Bosco, who, as we know as Catholics, was the 19th century Italian priest
mm-hmm.
who educated orphan boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so Leo felt an affinity to St. John Bosco and his situation. And on the 9th day of the novena,
mm-hmm.
when he was going to the Mass at this local church, there was a Christian man who came forward and offered Leo a scholarship to go to the minor seminary on that 9th day.
Wow.
Miraculous. And he went back to his tribal chief and said what happened. And the chief even thought that this was a miracle. This was like a sign from God.
Mm.
And he let Leo go.
Wow.
And his education was resumed.
Right.
And then at that point, my last key point here, in my speaking, he was so elated.
Yeah.
At that moment, he made a covenant with God that he would serve orphans and widows. He would serve the poor. He would go wherever God wanted him to go to be a slave to slaves. That he would be a holy priest. He felt his calling to the priesthood also, but that he would be a slave of slaves
mm-hmm.
now that God had answered his prayer.
Wow. That is an amazing story.
Yes.
Thank you very much for sharing that. It's time for our first break. The time is going very fast, but we'll be back in just a moment to continue our discussion with Nick Costello of the Home to Advanced African Life. Stay tuned.
Join the Archdiocese of Chicago for its annual Capital for Kids reception to benefit emergency tuition assistance and the Office of Catholic Schools. Hello, I'm Superintendent of Catholic Schools, Dr. Jim Rigg, inviting you to this wonderful event on the evening of Monday, November 21st at the Capitol Grill in downtown Chicago. Tickets are available at archchicago.org/capitalforkids. Thank you for your support of our great Catholic schools.
Pope Francis calls us to cooperate generously for the common good. Through the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, we lift up our Holy Father's message of walking with the poor, moving forward together as one, to change our systems and institutions to benefit low-income communities. You can join the work of CCHD by donating during the annual collection weekend on November 19th and 20th. Visit chicagopeaceandjustice.org/CCHD to learn how you can contribute to ending poverty.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is partnering with the Art Institute of Chicago to bring you a unique tour that captures the intersection of art and faith. Hello, I'm Beth White, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, here to tell you about this wonderful tour inspired by the Year of Mercy. Seven works of art reflecting the seven spiritual works of mercy form a customized path through the Art Institute. Hand cards in English, Spanish, and Polish are available at all the entrances to the Art Institute to help guide you on the tour. You can download a reflection guide and additional information about this tour, including pricing and tour options, by going to jubileemercy.org. That's jubileemercy.org. Connect your faith with amazing works of art. Visit the Year of Mercy Tour at the Art Institute of Chicago now through December.
To make sure that every orphan, every abandoned child in the streets of Nigeria, where I came from, is sent to school. But my money couldn't take me long. And yet I realized that these children, like myself, were people that needed help. They needed someone to tell them, even if they didn't hear it or say it correctly, like Peter told Jesus, "No, it will happen, Lord. You will not die. But let them hear something that is consoling and comforting, something that is encouraging and helping." How much we were able to do.
Welcome back to Mission Matters Live. If you're just tuning in, I am Megan Mio, Director of the Mission Office. Today we're discussing the work of HEAL, the Home to Enhance African Life. And I have with me its president, Nick Costello. We just heard a short clip from Deacon Leo Okonkwo, who is the founder of Water for Life Mission and co-founder of HEAL with Nick. And this is from a recent homily he gave talking about the founding of HEAL and what was the inspiration, what was the original hope. And we heard in the first half of our show a little bit of Deacon Leo's personal story, personal journey to be inspired to from his own kind of miraculous, not just miraculous, because he was a go-getter, mm-hmm. but the miraculous change of heart in the people around him who made it possible for him to study in the seminary and ultimately put all of his hopes and dreams and his intelligence to work. And he was inspired to work for the orphans and widows in southern Nigeria, where he is from, where he lives and works today. Mm-hmm. And Nick, you came to know Deacon Leo through seminary some years ago. And then you both kind of went on, I would imagine, since the time of the seminary, and then you reconnected a few years later. And so you came together to co-found the Home to Enhance African Life. So can you talk a little more about that founding and the work that goes on through HEAL?
Yes. Well, I was just living my life here in Chicago. I was working in advertising sales, which had been my work for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I was active in the church, serving mm-hmm. as a knight, a grand knight of local Knights of Columbus Council. Mm-hmm. I was on the pastoral council at Holy Name Cathedral. I was active in many ways, and my social life then was much more active than it is now. So I was an avid Cubs fan back then. Now that they've won it all, when I'm not as interested, it's kind of it kind of fits the bill for Cubs fans, I guess. But anyway, that's what my life was. And then Leo just gave me a call. Wow. And first words out of his mouth were, "Nick, I need your help." And it was kind of an urgent statement. Mm. And now I had been in conversation with him over the years since we parted ways at when we were in seminary together. Mm-hmm. But and I would help him out when I could, or send money and things like that. So I was keeping pace with the mission. Mm-hmm. But this was something much different. Mm-hmm. And he explained to me that in the village where they are educating these orphans and rural village children, they were using a livestock stall as for the classrooms.
Sure.
So where they normally would keep the goats and chickens and pigs is where they were having class. So the government was putting some pressure on Leo to construct a new building.
Upgrade,
because
yeah.
this was a safety health hazard. So they were really putting pressure on him, and he just said, Nick, unless we are able to construct a new building, I don't know what the government will do. They might shut this mission down, you know, or bribe me to the extent that, you know, that I can't operate anymore, things like that.
And he was the only option for these kids.
Yeah.
For any kind of education or change in their
lives. Yeah. And he had he inherited his father's estate because his family, it took some time, but they came to support everything he was doing. Now, the oldest son normally gets the estate, but his older brother allowed Leo to inherit the estate. And in an agreement with the family, they bought this land where the school for the orphans is right now. So he needed my help. And so I was reluctant at first because I had my life. I was working and volunteering and I wanted to see my old friend again, but you know, he insisted that he had to come and see me. So that was 3 years ago. And he ended up staying with me for 6 weeks. And I just let him tell his story to people within my own circles. And many were very touched and moved by his story and the mission. So I kind of witnessed how this was coming together and how positively people were responding. And there are many stories I could tell, but it would take too much time. But what happened was we decided at that point to set up a not-for-profit organization. And so a friend of mine referred me to an attorney that specializes in nonprofit. And so we were able to get our tax-exempt status in 2014 in the spring. So that's how it happened. And I learned more. That's when I first learned the story of Leo being given away as he would tell it to people. And it really hit me also because, you know, in my own life, education, I had some educational challenges myself. And so I want children to be able to develop and to succeed academically. So that was an extra motivation for me. But then he also wanted me to come and see the mission. And I was reluctant to do that. I thought, okay, traveling to Africa, I don't think so.
But you did.
Yes, you did. I did.
More than once.
More than once.
Visit Nigeria.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's the person who's kind of keeping when Deacon Leo is in Nigeria working, doing the mission, you need to keep the interest alive here.
Yes.
In the Chicago area to keep people offering their support. So you were able to see some of those things with your own eyes and then bring that story back. And we were talking before, you know, that when I introduced or invited you to come on the show, I looked at your website and it's wonderful. I think it's got a lot of great information about the work that you all do.
Yes.
I took the quiz about knowing more about Nigeria. You know, what do you really know about what life is like today in Nigeria? This is wonderful. This is kind of one of the key ways that you get the word out about HEAL to folks in the Chicago area, and then through the Summer Mission Cooperative, where you visit parishes and make appeals as well.
Yes,
true.
I go. I speak. I am available to speak and have a presentation I can give. So I'm always looking for that opportunity. We have our website, healnigeria.org. If you go to the website and put your name and email, into our, you can subscribe to our newsletter, which we send out every week, so you can keep updated on what we're doing and learn more about the mission.
Great. Yeah, and they would be able to find a way to contact you as well if they want to know.
Yes.
If you can come and visit or make a presentation.
Absolutely. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, just as a last question, you know, I just want to ask, I know it'll be really hard to give a short answer, but, you know, how you said that things changed when you started getting involved in HEAL, and today this is your full-time work.
Yes.
In a nutshell, you know, how has your heart been broken open through this mission work?
The spirituality of HEAL is self-emptying. So I invite your readers to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. So what does that mean? Well, I didn't want to go to Africa. I was a little afraid. So, but I knew I had to go. So I went and I saw the mission. I saw the children. So I left that zone of security. I had to.
Yeah.
And that's what mission is all about.
Yeah.
So whatever...
Self-emptying.
Whatever your mission is in life, it's going to involve overcoming that fear and leaving that place of security. That's what I've learned as a missionary.
Well, thank you so much, Nick. Thank you.
Yes.
Even in this brief time, we got a little glimpse of how this has affected you and so many others. I encourage our listeners to check out HEAL's website at www.healnigeria.org. The Mission Office website is wearemissionary.org, so please visit us as well. Tune in next month for Mission Matters Live, when we will learn more about our church's mission in the world. Thank you very much, Nick. And to our listeners, remember, always be on mission.